Good morning.
Good morning.
Hope everybody's doing well on this first day of June. Welcome everyone to Hebron Presbyterian Church, whether you're worshiping with us in person or online. Wherever you're coming from, or whatever you are bringing with you from this week, we pray that you will experience the restoring presence of the living Jesus here today. We've got a few announcements. Mark your calendars for June 16th at 7 p.m. Hebron is hosting the Impact Youth Choir from Burke Presbyterian Church. And you may have seen in the weekly newsletter, there is a need for housing for our guests. And so if you are able or interested, please see Marcus after the service or check the church email for that. Excited to have them here. This is also a new month, June, so we are collecting new items for Operation Christmas Child. When you join us down the hall at home, down the hall in Holman Hall, for fellowship after the service, on the bulletin board, you'll see the June items there. For those of you who are like me that are want it handed to you on a platter, if you'll check the weekly email, there is a link for our monthly items. And it takes you directly to Amazon, where you can purchase, and it will be delivered for you to the church office. I don't know how to make it any easier than that. So, right, Carol? Carol has done an excellent job making that easy for us. So please check that out. Another item for your calendar, obviously a very busy month, June 28th is our annual church picnic at the Knuckles Farm. I know there will be more details to follow, so keep your eye out for that, but wanted to make sure you have that on your calendar at June 28th. And finally, today is we're celebrating the Lord's Supper, and this is the Lord's table, and Christ offers this invitation. So if you have been baptized in the name of the triune God, all are welcome to eat of this meal, and today we will be offering communion by intinction, where you come forward to receive. Do we have any other announcements? Hearing none, let us prepare our hearts and minds for worship. Thank you. Thank you, Marcus. Please rise and join me as we are called to worship. Alleluia. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord.
Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation.
Let us come before him with thanksgiving.
And extol him with music and song.
God, who has gathered us to worship, now greet you with these words. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ in the communion of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are opened, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
The proof of God's amazing love is this: While we were sinners, Christ died for us. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Trusting in God's faithfulness and compassion, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Gracious God, our sins are too heavy to carry, too real to hide, and too deep to undo. Forgive what our lips tremble to name, what our hearts can no longer bear, and what has become for us consuming fire of judgment. Set us free from a past that we cannot change. Open us to a future in which we can be changed. And grant us grace to grow more and more into your likeness and image. Through Jesus Christ, the light of the world.
Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old life, it's gone. And the new life has begun. Therefore, as a called and ordained minister of the Church of Jesus Christ, and by his authority, I declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Assured of God's forgiveness, let us confess the faith which holds us fast using the words of the Nicene Creed. Christians, what do we believe? We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father, through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins.
We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And so we pray by the power of the Holy Spirit, as your word is read and your gospel proclaimed, let us hear with joy and receive what you have to say. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of John, the 17th chapter, starting in the 20th verse. That's page 880 in your pew Bible, 880 in your pew Bible. This is the end of a larger section in the Gospel of John known as the Farewell Discourse. So this, Jesus has now come into the upper room with his disciples, and these are the final teachings and words of Jesus before he goes to be crucified. It's a large section. It starts in chapter 13, verse 1, and it goes till chapter 17, 26. So this is where we are. Last week, and as we've come from Easter, we've come to the end of the story, but now we're backing up a little bit, because what Jesus said before his resurrection only makes sense now that he is raised. So with that in mind, let us turn and listen to God's word. Jesus prayed, "I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. As you, Father, are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one, as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that those also whom you have given me may be with me where I am to see my glory, which you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made your name known to them, and I will make it known, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them." The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. This is the word of the Lord. Solidarity. Solidarity is a powerful human action. Webster's dictionary defines solidarity like this: unity, as of a group or class that produces or is based in community of interests, objectives, and standards. Unity that produces or is based on common interests, objectives, and standards. We might call to mind the trade unions of the 20th century or the civil rights protests of Martin Luther King Jr. There is power in standing side by side on common issues and objectives. But I think solidarity goes deeper than this. It goes deeper than intellectual issues or just common causes. Solidarity is deeply emotional. relational and can see us through times of great personal trial. As I've gotten to know many of you, you have shared with me your stories and some of those of personal trial and tribulation, whether it was grief or sickness or a broken relationship. Across these stories, what you all hold in common is the ability to name those who stood by you, in your darkest times, those who acted in solidarity and walked with you through your troubles. There is power in standing with others through their struggles. Well, our text this morning expands this vision of solidarity, and it shows us that it is not only those immediately around us, but also Jesus Christ himself, who stands with us and will see us through, come what may. Scholars have titled John chapter 17, again, this section of this greater part of the Gospel of John, they've titled it the High Priestly Prayer of Jesus. Because here in this section, John chapter 17, our Lord operates as an Old Testament priest in a way, interceding with God the Father on behalf of his people. In verses 1 through 19, the previous section, Jesus prays for his disciples, for those who are right in front of him, those whom he will send out into the world to proclaim the good news. But in our passage, verses 20 through 26, Jesus goes further, and he prays for future generations. Specifically, he says, those who believe in me through the disciples' word. This not only includes the early church who would have met the apostles and sat and broke bread with them, but it includes those who would come to know Christ through their words preserved in the scriptures. Jesus' prayer includes even you and me. All these 2,000 plus years later, we who have come to believe through the apostles' words. Now, if we take a step back for a moment, we will realize just how amazing this truth is. Jesus prayed for you. Jesus prayed for you even before you were born, before you believed. Jesus lifted you to the Father in prayer. And it doesn't stop there. The Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 8:34 that even now, Jesus is interceding on your behalf and on behalf of those whom you love at the right hand of the Father. At this very moment, Jesus is praying for you. What a comfort and an encouragement this is. You know, we're often empowered through hardship when we know that just a friend is praying for us, right? How much more so that the Son of God, the one who is eternally united with the Father, how much more that he is praying for us. Whatever you're going through right now, whatever trials or anxieties, griefs or pains, you can be assured you are not alone, because Jesus is praying for you. Jesus is praying for the particularities of our lives. But over and above this, our passage shows us, Jesus prays for his whole people, for his church, in two specific ways. First, he prays that they may all be one. Speaking to the Father, Jesus says that they may be one as we are one. unity, that his people would be united to one another, stand with one another. You know, in our deeply polarized and polarizing world, this can seem like another world, unrealistic. It is counter-cultural. We are far more likely and honestly far more willing that when we are faced with people who differ from us, who are different from us, we are more likely to run away and be protected in the bubbles of the same, of those who are just like us. But Jesus didn't pray that they may be the same. Jesus also didn't pray that they would merely tolerate each other as we tolerate each other. Yeah, the Father and the Son don't just tolerate each other. No, Jesus prayed that they would be one. That even as we differ in opinion or ethnicity, language, even politics and so on, that we would stand with and for one another. We would be truly God's people. The very character of our community is to be defined by unity across difference. Not in spite of difference, across difference. Now, to be clear, this isn't an arbitrary unity. We don't just put aside our differences and ignore them and just, you know, leave them in the corner and don't talk about them because they might, you know, make us uncomfortable. Nor do we say that everyone can just think whatever they want as long as, you know, they don't rock the boat. The community that Jesus prays we will be is one that honors our God-given differences while rooted in the common confession of the triune God, the God who is made known to us in Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus says that they may be one as we are one, recognizing and honoring difference, just as the Father and the Son are different, yet united in purpose and confession, just as the Son fulfills the Father's plans and teaches God's ways. Now, this is what happened at the Council of Nicaea in 325 AD. I know I'm bringing it back around to that. It was the 1700th anniversary just last week. And this is the creed that we said this morning came out of this council. But what happened there is that the church from across the known world, from Africa, from Europe, from the Middle East, they came together and with one voice professed the faith that held them fast, honoring their differences, yet united in their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is unity. Now, the church has not always been good at this. And if we're honest with ourselves, the church today is not good at this. However, this is the kind of community Jesus prays that we will be. And in the power of the Holy Spirit, he is making it a reality. So what might it look like if we here, Hebron Presbyterian Church, what would it look like if we were to live this reality now? What might we have to take on? Or what might we have to let go of so that we can model what Jesus is making real? This leads us to the second petition. Jesus prays that those whom the Father had given me may be with me where I am to see my glory. Now, we are liable to misunderstand him here. Jesus is not merely talking about being with him in heaven when we die, or seeing his glory only when he comes again. There is no future tense in these verbs, my school teachers out there. There is no future tense in these words. It is a present tense. He prays that those who have come to believe, whom God has given, that they would experience a present tangibleness of Christ's glory. Present experience, tangible. You might ask, how is this possible? Here's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, and these are intricately connected, that as his people are united to one another, as they are honoring their God-given differences, as they are confessing the faith, as they are one, they actually begin to experience the glory of Christ. They begin to experience it in the here and now. Being where Jesus is and seeing his glory results from being united to one another, to being that one community that Jesus is forming. So as we look around the room and we see our neighbors and our friends, these are the people through whom Christ is showing his glory. Even in our imperfections, and even in our differences, and even in our conflicts, these are the people through whom Christ is showing us his glory. So as we are united to one another, as we honor one another, as we even wrestle our ideas and thoughts and opinions with one another, that is where Jesus says, I am there, and you will experience my presence. This is a promise of the Holy Spirit's work in us. This is a gift from the Lord Jesus, and it is available now. So how might we begin to live this way? Here's the beauty of the gospel on full display, that the one who died for us, raised and ascended, the one who prays for us even now, he does not leave his people alone, but is continually working to make us one so that we may see him as he is. In the community that is Christ's church, in the community that is Hebron Presbyterian Church, Jesus calls and gathers people of every tribe and tongue, opinion, and nation to confess the one faith and so experience and enter into a tangible reality of his glory. And the foretaste of that glory we find in the word and sacraments as we are about to sit at this table. We are united in the Holy Spirit and given to taste and see our Lord Jesus Christ. You are not alone in this world. You do not stand alone in the midst of its chaos, for Jesus stands in solidarity with you. He prays for you even when you have no words to say. And he is uniting us together so that you will never be alone, but live in Christ's presence and glory. May you seek after this promise and so trust in the Savior who is praying for you. Amen. As we respond in gratitude to God's word and as we prepare our hearts to eat of Christ's table, let us offer our life and labors to the Lord.
Thank you.
gracious and almighty Lord, every good gift comes from above, and you rain on us blessings immeasurable. And so we give back just a portion of what you have given to us and dedicate it to your service. Sanctify these gifts and help us to be good stewards of the same for the building up of your kingdom, for the proclamation of the gospel, and to the glory of your name. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Hear now the words of institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ. On the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. As often as you eat of it, do it in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after the supper was ended, he took the cup. And after giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Take, drink. This is my blood poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you drink of it, do it in remembrance of me." By these words, our Lord Jesus Christ commands all believers to eat this broken bread and to drink this cup in true faith and in the certain hope of his coming again in glory. In this meal, God declares to us that all of our sins are forgiven through the one sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. Jesus also says to us here that we are grafted to him by the Holy Spirit and now sit with him at the right hand of the Father, where he desires that we worship him. As often as we eat this bread and we drink this cup, we proclaim the saving death of our risen Lord until he comes again in glory. So in obedience to Christ's command and in a similar way, I take this bread and this cup to be set apart as signs and seals of God's grace, the true body and blood of Christ for us. Jesus said, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." This is the Lord's table, and Christ invites those who trust him to share the feast he has prepared. But first, let us turn to God with thanksgiving and praise. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly right and our greatest joy to praise you, O God, creator of the universe. In your wisdom, you made all things and sustained them by your power. You formed us in your image to love and serve you and to live in peace with your whole creation. When we rebelled against you, you did not abandon us, but sent prophets to call us back to your way. Then, in the fullness of time, you sent your only Son to redeem us and heal our brokenness. Holy God, we thank you for Jesus Christ, your Son. In Jesus, born of Mary, your word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. He lived as one of us, knowing joy and sorrow. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, welcomed sinners, and proclaimed good news to the poor. Dying on the cross, he gave himself for the life of the world. Rising from the grave, he won victory over death.
seated at your right hand. He reigns with you in glory and will come again to make all things new. Remembering then the risen Christ, we take from your creation this bread and this cup as we live for the day of his coming. And with thanksgiving, we offer you the sacrifice of our very lives. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ and with all who share this feast, united in ministry in every place. As this bread is Christ's body for us, send us out to be the body of Christ for the world. God of compassion, we remember before you the poor and the afflicted, the sick and the dying, prisoners and all who are lonely, the victims of war, injustice, and natural disasters, and all others who suffer this day in body, mind, and spirit. God, our Creator, we pray for all nations and peoples, that the earth may be free from war, famine, and disease, that those who govern and maintain peace in every land may exercise their power in obedience to your commands. God, our Savior, look upon your church in her struggle upon the earth. Have mercy on her weakness. Bring an end to her divisions and scatter her fears. And look upon the ministry of this church, which you have called Hebron. Let our doors be open wide as we go forth in love and service, and others come in to find a home. In union with your church in heaven and on earth, we pray, O God, that you will fulfill your eternal purpose in us and in all the world. Keep us faithful in your service until Christ comes again in final victory, and we shall feast with him and all your saints in the joy of your eternal kingdom. Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor are yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. The bread we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. The cup we bless is a sharing in the blood of Christ. Friends, these are the gifts of God, and they are for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. In a moment, the ushers are going to invite you up. We're going to move this way around the sanctuary. As you come up, you'll come to me, and I will say, the body of Christ broken for you. And you'll have your hands one on top of the other, and I will place it in your hands. And you can say amen or alleluia or whatever feels appropriate. And then you'll go to my right, your left, where there will be a cup or a tray. If you are coming to the cup, simply dip into the cup, and the server will say, the blood of Christ shed for you. Or if you come to the tray, just take one cup, and they'll say the same. I also want you to know that there is gluten-free bread if you so need it, so let me know as you come forward. The table is ready. You are welcome. My ushers, come forward. And as we are receiving, we will also sing together. So you can see it'll be on the screen or in your hymnals. pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this bread and this cup, foretastes of your glory, your very body and blood given for us and for our salvation. Strengthened by your word and sacraments, send us out in the Spirit's power to live for you all our days. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Our risen Savior prays for you, and he prays that we will be one, and that as we are united to one another, that we will see his glory. So as we live together in this community, let us seek the face of Christ, be united, and love one another, and so show the world that Christ is alive. So now as you go, go with the blessing of Almighty God that I lay upon you in his name. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. This day, always, forever. Amen.